This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kunnison. Now, in about 10 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. O.E. Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on the overnight political developments. But before that, let's talk about the internet, because we do know Google will release its third quarter results on Thursday. And as we look ahead to that, a shadow looms over the company. It is faced with a landmark lawsuit from the US Department of Justice in the biggest antitrust suit in 20 years. Now, the Justice Department of the US argues that Google is a monopoly. It corners 90% of the search engine market. And that's not too surprising, right? Because seeing how as many people now use the word Google as a verb, we say Google it when we want to search something. But the stickler is that the Department of Justice argues that Google is illegally maintaining that monopoly. For example, it pays Apple billions of dollars every year to make sure it is the default browser on Apple, essentially blocking competitors. Meanwhile, the Justice Department says Google's dominance may also stifle innovation and reduce choice in the long term. But of course, Google, being the giant that it is not going down without a fight. So what comes next and what does this mean for the rest of big tech? To discuss this with us this morning is Chris Segers, Professor of Law and an expert on antitrust based at Cleveland State University. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Now, big tech has come under so much scrutiny in recent years for how dominant they've gotten, not just Google, but also Apple, Facebook and Amazon. So why is Google coming in the line of fire now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure anyone knows exactly why the U.S. government started with Google. The government has been very interested in all of the big American tech firms, as you probably know. And news was recently reported that the federal government in the United States might also be suing Facebook quite soon, perhaps in early November, maybe even before the presidential election. This was the case that the Justice Department believed was ready. And there may be more cases coming.
Now, this suit against Google, of course, has been compared to Microsoft, which was 20 years ago. But the big tech names that we mentioned earlier, I mean, they didn't get big overnight. So why didn't we see anything of this level happen sooner?
Yeah, it take in my country, for what it's worth, it takes them a long time. It takes the government a long time to decide that they're going to sue. I mean, you know, unlike Europe, unlike some Asian countries, antitrust is actually pretty hard to enforce in the United States. It's gotten very difficult in the past few decades. And I think for that reason, the government usually waits until it thinks it has a really good case, which usually means that the defendant that they sue is really big.
Now, the question is, there's this prevailing sense that when you think about competition, right, what matters here is that the consumers get lower prices. But in the case of Google, it's a search engine and it's free, and competition does exist. I mean, even though they're not used as widely as Google. So what does this mean about how the authorities define an antitrust breach?
Yeah, that's a good question. And a lot of people wonder how, if the point of antitrust is to protect consumers, how much better can it get for consumers than free? But here's the thing. Antitrust actually also protects other people besides just consumers. And among other things, antitrust protects suppliers, people who supply things and sell things, and also the advertisers that sell, the advertisers that buy advertising on Google search results. So the fact that you and I as consumers of search don't really notice or don't feel any pain from Google being a monopolist doesn't mean that Google's not hurting anybody. So the government's goal here, for better or worse, assuming they've got a good case, their goal is to protect the advertisers who are getting hurt. You might know there also is a pretty significant concern since the big online firms have become so powerful. There's a lot of concern about what loss of advertising revenue has done to the news media, particularly in the United States, particularly newspapers. So there's a concern that Google's hurting a lot of people, even though to you and me, at least, it's a great product that's free.
And then on the flip side, what argument will Google use to defend themselves? And how much do they have a chance to fight this actually?
Yeah, it's just like you said, Google's main argument is going to be their claim that actually search is very competitive. Google loves to say, they say it several times a day, competition is just a click away. They say it's very easy to find another search engine if you don't like Google. That may be a good, that may be an argument that will sway many people in the public. The problem for Google is that the government has a pretty good case, a lot of evidence that in fact, there aren't really very good competitors to Google right now. And the big problem is, even though it might not seem like it, it turns out it's extremely expensive to build a search engine. If you read the government's complaint, or if you read the information that the European Commission put out a couple of years ago when they sued Google for similar conduct, there's actually a pretty solid case that there aren't really any real challengers to Google right now. And it's very unlikely that there's going to be another good challenger. That poses this dilemma, though. A lot of people will say, and Google surely will say, even if we have the only search engine that people want to use, that's just because we built the best search engine and you can't punish us for just making a good product. And I, you know, for what it's worth, I don't know how sympathetic I am to that, but I have to admit, even if you think that Google ought to be subject to some sort of antitrust challenge, it's a real problem to figure out how to fix it. So like if the government wins at the end of their case, a serious question is going to be, what kind of order or injunction can a court issue that will correct the problem? I mean, if there's no other search engine anybody wants to use, the court can't order Google to stop being the best product, you know?
So exactly that, right, Chris? What is the remedy do you think the Department of Justice will want to achieve from this antitrust case? What will the outcome be? Is it a breakup of Google?
Yeah, breakup is very unlikely for several reasons. In the United States, we almost never do that, even though we often think of antitrust as a breakup remedy, but we almost never do it. And also in this particular case, if you stop and think about it, breaking up Google wouldn't necessarily solve the problem because you kind of, you know, Google is a search company, but then it's a whole bunch of other companies too. It's a, you know, it's a travel company and they have a cell phone business, but the search company is one company and you can't really break it up into pieces because you need all the stuff that Google owns to run an effective search engine. So breaking it up doesn't make there be more competitors in search. And that poses a real problem because to really effectively make it so that Google will have to compete with other search engines that people actually want to use, it seems to me like the government is going to have to order people to, is going to have to order Google to let other firms use its data, its database, its index, as we say. And the courts are not going to want to enter that order. And even if they did, like, you know, I believe in this case, I want the government to win. But even I think, you know, that's going to be a mess.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Chris Sagas at Cleveland State University warning us that this case is not going to be an easy one, that at this moment, nobody really knows what kind of remedy the Department of Justice is targeting for and what will the eventual outcome will be. Roshan, what were your key takeaways?
I think what he noted there was, you know, often when we think about antitrust, we only think about the consumer side of things. And that's traditionally been the case where if the consumer is not being hurt, people don't pay too much attention to it. But there are other stakeholders at play. And I think he rightly pointed out suppliers, right? Because if it's only one big buyer of search and things like that, and only one controller, then the suppliers are then price receivers of what needs to happen there. So pointing out ad buyers and a long-term effect is media, right? We've seen countries across the world, media industries have been hit because of Google's dominance in this area, and ads are going to Google, they're not going to media companies. Newspapers have seen much, much better days. So that brings to light the case in Australia, right, where they basically told Facebook and Google that they're going to have to share the revenue with the newspapers. So a lot of attention being paid to these players. Let's see how they get out of it and whether this additional attention on the company itself maybe then alters the way they do business to kind of appease the government. So maybe that's possibly a way out of this. Who knows?
Yeah, but you know it's going to be very, very messy, right? Because it's not the first time Google has come under fire. They've done so in Europe, and they've been already involved in a very long and messy legal cases. And because Google is such a big company with extremely, extremely deep pockets, and we're talking billions of dollars of revenue, this is they're going to fight every part of the way, right? They're not going to say, okay, you know, let's kind of settle this issue. Nonetheless, I think we will be following this story. I mean, despite the fact that we probably all still Google users in one way or another, there are question marks over a company, whether a company this size should have so much monopoly over our lives. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Oh Yee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on the overnight political development. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.